Hello, listeners of the In Character podcast. Ooh. I am one of your hosts, Marissa Cherisoli.
And I'm the other host, Evan Vandenberg.
We're killing it with these intros. Cue the theme song. Nailed it. Killed it. All right, folks, today we are tackling quite the interesting little episode or TV show here, BoJack Horseman. Yes, thank you, Evan. That's really helpful. Yeah, we're talking about BoJack Horseman, which, for anyone who has seen it, deeply comedic and very
deeply troubling
at the same time. I don't know that I've ever watched a show this funny that is also this existential and upsetting to kind of really think about the ramifications of what they're trying to say.
Yeah, I was just watching back through a few episodes and it jumping between a really funny moment and then the next, it's like pushing you to tears because of how horrible it is. It's that doesn't happen often in shows either. So.
No. I mean, even if you take a show like Breaking Bad, which we talked about in our last episodes, Breaking Bad very much separates its comedy from its drama, at least like its first seasons, I would say, lean more comedically, but as you get to the later seasons, it's almost all drama, and they do sprinkle some comedy in there, but it's not quite to the same. I would easily classify Breaking Bad as a drama. I couldn't classify BoJack as comedy or drama. So for anyone, I'm sure you've seen it if you're listening to this podcast. BoJack Horseman was the star of a 90s television show that was very successful in Hollywood and abroad. And he is now over the hill, as one would say, age-wise. And even just in his career, it's not popping off the way it used to be. But so he holds on kind of for dear life to this version of himself and his success that was sort of perfect, if you can even call it as such. Perfect on the outside as but really struggling on the inside, which is, I guess, is a good metaphor for Hollywood. So that's the premise here. Kind of the show horsing around, takes a page out of Full House's book or any of these kind of family sitcoms. Really wholesome, but there was some deeply sinister things in the background and in BoJack's life as the star and in the children, who there's three children that are on the show with him. And they're all, they all grew up to be
troubled
in their own way, especially Sarah Lynn, who went on to kind of have this Lindsay Lohan, Britney Spears career arc where people would just take advantage of her. And, she's a young lady by the time we meet her. So
that's the preface.
All of that being said, most of the songs today that we're going to discuss, both externally songs that we thought would fit into BoJack's his own playlist, things that would describe his situation, things that describe some of the themes of the show, as well as songs that are actually featured in BoJack Horseman. This TV show is pretty famous for its selection of pop music and even some of their original songs that they've put in there, in solidifying some of the themes that they touch on in this television series. So with that being said, let's get right into it. There are going to be some deeply sad songs in this playlist, probably sadder than anything we'll have for any of these other characters we'll be discussing. And things got hairy there for Walter White at the end, but I think BoJack, there's something far sadder to the BoJack story than even to the Breaking Bad story, at least from the main character perspective. Evan, do you have any thoughts on that?
There's the difference between watching someone slowly take their life and burn it to the ground versus someone who's deeply troubled from the very beginning, and watching BoJack, the more you see of him and his history, the worse you feel. And it's like, how could he be anything else than this, given how horrible his childhood was? And then he kind of just repeats all the behavior he learned from his parents, and you're like, is he just destined to a life of misery? And that's what you keep questioning the entire time. And sometimes it looks like he isn't, and those fleeting moments of like potentially a better way are the things that kind of stick out to me as someone who wants to be more optimistic, but it's clearly not the main takeaway.
Right. I mean, Evan and I even, we watched the same show, obviously, and we even had different takeaways of how we felt the show was trying to portray its final message. The series kind of ends on sort of an ambiguous note. I won't get into it too much right now, but Evan, ever the optimist, has a different view on what BoJack's potential is, and by extension, Diane and the rest of the characters, and are they capable of changing for the better? I take a bit more of a pessimistic view, which is that BoJack, as a character, as we've known him for the 6 seasons that the show was on, he gets better, and then he gets worse, and then he gets better, and then he gets worse, and he has some highs where you really think, this is it, this is where he's really turned a leaf, only to kind of be hit with the gut punch of some of the lowest lows that he faces, which come at the end of the show when you feel like he's already learned quite a few lessons, and it's almost worse for him to experience those lows knowing everything that he has come to learn. There's an argument to be made about
he should be wiser.
And he does know better, and that's what's particularly damning about this character, but he's sympathetic nonetheless, and I think we can all relate to life never really gets a happy ending. It doesn't really get an ending at all until you die, and television leaves things on kind of, it wraps it up in a nice little bow, even if the show ends particularly sad the way Breaking Bad does, at least for some of these other characters. But with BoJack, it's left like life is just going to go on, and these same patterns are going to keep recurring. And that's my view, but Evan is a bit more optimistic in what he thinks it means.
I was at one point, we had this conversation before recording, and then I watched the season finale for the first 3 seasons, I think, and in those 3 episodes, it's made clear every time, it's like, I just got something new that I thought would make me happy, and it's not. And he keeps trying to figure out why he hasn't reached this point of fulfillment, that things are better, and he keeps looking for that next hill, that at which point he'll be at the top and he'll be happy, and it never comes. But, I mean, as I watched that, I realized, like, he's just kind of setting himself up for failure from the beginning with all these expectations around a success that's going to bring him peace, when in reality he's so broken. He's got to start a lot further down in who he is to find any sense of actual fulfillment in identity.
Absolutely. And isn't life just like that, folks? I mean, God, for those of you in therapy. Oh, yeah. I mean, really digging deep into where these kind of issues stem from in the first place, which is something BoJack can recognize pretty early on in the show, in the first season or whatever. He's not happy, and he's not as, things aren't as Jim Dandy as they seemed they were, and people can kind of see through that facade more than he thought they could. But he doesn't really, as do we, the audience, they don't know why. Don't know where this kind of all stuff. I mean, we can have our guesses, but there is a lot of work that BoJack does throughout the show. There's 6 seasons, which I think in the show equate to like 10 years or so of his life. So there's some pretty significant stuff that happens there. And some of my favorite plot lines have to do with his mother particularly, and what that relationship has, how that has shaped him into who he is over the years. And something I really, really like about it is, not only do we see what his mother is like, we also see why his mother is the way that she is. And so, as much as we want to vilify her for turning, you know, our lovable BoJack into what he is, my God, she has had probably, arguably, a worse upbringing than him. I don't know if we want to get into the ups, who had the worst upbringing Olympics here.
That's
I don't
a whole
want to,
show
but.
Segment which we have set aside later, but I think anything we've set up to this point is all just a preface to like the moments in which he's the most down with this realization that things are not looking up, even though he keeps on doing like materialistically significant things. He gets like awards, he gets successful books, movies, shows, and he'll get like a momentary like, oh, I did it. And then almost immediately he's like worse off than he was before, because he's like, this should be the moment where I feel satisfied. So all of the songs I have are kind of just the songs in the show relating to that. But
right. I mean, we can talk about the season finale of the first season, which uses two significant musical moments that exist in the actual realm of the show, which are the Rolling Stones' Wild Horses and Tegan and Sarah's Closer, which I believe closes out the end of the season finale. I could be wrong on that, but mm-hmm. I'm pretty sure that's
right. Let's give Wild Horses a listen.
Do you remember the last time I saw you and you asked me if I thought you were a good person deep down?
Do I remember that? Yeah, vaguely.
You really caught me off guard. I didn't know what to say.
Well, do you think I'm a good person deep down?
That's the thing. I don't think I believe in deep down. I kind of think all you are is just the things that you do.
Well, that's depressing. For what it's worth, I think your writing does make a difference.
Thanks.
I really wanted you to like me, Diane.
I know.
So that final scene there, BoJack is just rewatching Horsin' Around, his glory days, as they would say. But that conversation with Diane is pretty significant and kind of kickstarts this. I mean, they have a significant relationship, and that's established early on in the show. But this is kind of a central theme in the show. What, like, deep down, what does that mean? The actions that we act out, is that all we are?
Yeah, is your meaning at the base derived from the good you perceive that you can do in the world? And that's constantly what Diane's always seeking out. It's like, oh, I have to, maybe I can join this glamour magazine and through that I can make a difference. And everything she does, it has to some way be plugged into some grander meaning. And like, there's something respectable about trying to make a difference, but when you're doing that or perceiving that you're doing that and you're still not feeling good about yourself, it's like, well, what do you do then?
Yeah, and BoJack, I think throughout the show, rationalizes his behavior and tries to tell himself that he is a good person. I mean, nobody wants to be a bad person, and BoJack has to come to this realization. And he does. I would say that's where the big change with BoJack does occur throughout the show. Is he can eventually come to this realization that he's not a good person. But that's a hard thing for him to grasp. And that's season one. That's the end of season one right there. But yeah, that Tegan and Sarah song is a bit more hopeful, or at least sounds.
It felt kind of out of place for me. I was like, damn, this is really sad.
Yeah, I mean, the song is kind of hopeful. All I want to get a little bit closer.
A little bit closer. All I wanna know is, can you come a little closer?
Yeah.
Closer to whatever it means to be good, whatever it means to do something with your life. And BoJack,
right. The fact that he wants that.
Yeah, I mean that's something. But at the end of the day, we are the things that we do, and intention is one thing, but seeking it out is something else. Or maybe it isn't. Maybe intention does matter a lot. I don't know. I'm not here to pose any philosophical answers. I'm just here to play some silly little songs and, you know, explore this character and this show as a result of these songs. Evan, anything to add there?
I think we hop into season two.
Yeah, so season two starts. I mean, BoJack has, and Diane, his ghostwriter, has just, they published a memoir, which has kind of gotten into the root of BoJack's upbringing and some things that I don't even think he realized were troublesome, and has kind of painted him as more of a sympathetic figure, and at least has rekindled his fame. But there's some tension because he didn't want Diane to post it or to leak it. But
well, again, it still demonstrates this lack of understanding he has of like how good of a person he is and how he wants people to perceive him. He's like, oh no, it has to be about how like, you can't tell them who I actually am. I need to be perceived as something good and respectable. And the realization that people actually would relate to him more if they just know who he is.
One song I do want to draw attention to that I felt kind of was apt for BoJack's positioning in the world of Hollywood, or and certainly in his where he feels is his place in the world. There's this Leonard Cohen song called Last Year's Man, and And this is kind of a profoundly Hollywood topic, where the fading away of stars that were once kind of on top of the world, and these stars having to grapple with the fact that they're in this position kind of total irrelevance, and what does that mean as someone who's shaped their entire meaning of their life around that relevance? And BoJack most certainly has done that. BoJack has given up everything to achieve that. BoJack has given up, you know, any sense of any morals he had, any of his relationship with Herb Kazaz, who was the showrunner and was kicked off for being gay. I mean, BoJack gave the green light sort of reluctantly, but gave it nonetheless. And I mean, he can't maintain a healthy relationship with anybody. And there is this really corrupting power to the fame that he had been chasing. Right. And that he got, right. But he doesn't have anymore.
Well, again, that even speaks to the fact that everything he ever chases doesn't provide him any meaning, because his entire identity is built on something so shaky, and it ends up collapsing. It's like the fact that you can't be relevant and young and attractive forever, something hopefully you'd realize before you're at the point at which you're no longer relevant. But
right, yeah. And I think this song kind of touches upon this. I mean, there's a few ways you can interpret this. This is also, there's a lot of religious imagery in this song, which doesn't necessarily pertain to BoJack Horseman, but
I mean, even the title alone.
Yeah, exactly. And there's a real melancholia to this song that I can see it playing in the show.
Well, let's hear what it sounds like.
The rain falls down on last year's man. That's a Jew's harp on the table.
Wow.
Leonard sounds real sad.
I mean, BoJack is certainly, he's very Leonard Cohen coded, I would say, as a character. Not just Leonard Cohen. I think there's some strong The Smiths influence, Radiohead influences, which we've talked about with Jesse Pinkman and what have you, with these kind of sad characters. BoJack is a very sad character. And yeah, I was going through, and there were some clusters of songs by artists where I was like, wow, this artist has a lot of songs that could pertain to BoJack, and I'll try and keep it, you know, one or two per person, but
song you got?
Another artist even just that I came across quite a few songs, like Mitski. For anyone familiar with Mitski, is very much, I mean, the topics that she touches on are, you know, loneliness, isolation, these sorts of things. Also, a kind of traumatic upbringing, which was very apt to BoJack's circumstances, and part of that being as the daughter of immigrants and kind of the lens that she sees the world in because of that. But she's got some really interesting songs about this idea of parental trauma, you know, and the upbringing that comes to that. So one of those. Yeah, so this song she's got called Crack Baby, which is, you know, there are just some poignant lyrics here. We'll let the song play for a second.
It's been a long, hard 20-year summer vacation.
Yeah, so some poignant lyrics here. I mean, obviously the song's called Crack Baby, so there's definitely an allusion to some addiction here. And BoJack is someone who has been exposed to drugs and alcohol from a very young age as a result of his parents' own irresponsibility or just lack of caring at all about him and his well-being. Crack Baby, kind of a good allusion to that. Now, I don't think Mitski's parents were addicted to crack, but I think the metaphor still stands of parents that kind of couldn't care less. But in BoJack's case,
it's alcohol for his dad.
It's alcohol for his dad and cigarettes for his mother. I mean, and she's a bit of an alcoholic too. But there are some really poignant lyrics here. It's been a long, hard 20-year summer vacation, all these 20 years trying to fill the void. Fill the void, folks. That is what BoJack Horseman is trying to do at all points.
He got, like, shown by his dad when he was, like, 12 years old. Proper demonstration of how to be an alcoholic. Like, there was the one scene where he caught his dad late at the office having an affair. And then to makes sure BoJack Ford gets. He gives him his first drink, and then in that, he gets him so drunk he can't even remember what happened. But just, like, using alcohol as the out to problematic circumstances, just being so ingrained based on what you see your parents do was...
Oh, absolutely.
Very hard to watch.
Crack, baby, you don't know what you want, but you know that you had it once. With wild horses running through your hollow bones.
Oh, what? This one's got horses in it, too?
It does. It does. I thought it was very...
That's perfect.
Very apt.
Because even the other song being titled Wild Horses.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Anytime I could find a song that had an allusion to horses, I was like, that's the song.
That is the song.
That's my song, yo.
Nice job, Marissa. Nice job, Mitski.
Excellent job, Mitski. You are a voice of the people. You are a voice of the very highly dysfunctional, depressed, alcoholic people. So
and the horses.
So shout out. And the horses. Shout out, Mitski. You know, you're killing it. You're killing it. Anything you want to add to that?
I did what I wanted to add.
Excellent. Okay. Yeah, so Secretariat. Anyway, killed himself when BoJack was younger, and this is BoJack's profound role model in life. I mean, even when he's on his deathbed, this is the face he sees in place of his father's, and this is somebody who is so dysfunctional that he killed himself.
The part specifically that I remember is that I think it's maybe the second season finale. It's a callback or a shot in the past of Secretariat getting a call in from a young BoJack asking him, like, oh, you're my role model. I just wanted to know, like, life is kind of hard for me. What do you do when life gets tough? And Secretariat looks at the note, and he's like, oh, thanks, BoJack. Well, for me, what I do, I just start running, and I never stopped. And then it kind of, you can just see this deep pain in his eyes, and then it cuts to him jumping off a bridge and committing suicide. So that was the role model for BoJack Horseman. You can't really see that going anywhere too positive.
Right. And on that notion, yeah, Secretariat isn't a very important figure, though, in understanding BoJack's mindset and personality.
Right. You could argue his entire career in Hollywood is as a result of trying to walk in his footsteps, right?
Absolutely. And something important to note about Secretariat as a character, which is like public knowledge, is that Secretariat in the Vietnam War or something sent his brother in his place, and his brother died in the Vietnam War. And that is so BoJack. That is so something BoJack would do. And you wonder why these characters do these awful things, and there's a lot of potential reasons. I mean, clearly there's dysfunction, but the appeal of fame and self-preservation of... I mean, everybody is self-preserving, but BoJack, in his attempt to be self-preserving, is self-destructive. And so is Secretariat. And it's just funny how this history kind of repeats itself in BoJack. But, I mean, of course it does. I mean, Secretariat is, like, probably more significant to him than BoJack's own mother. Or father. Certainly his own father. But this reminds me of a good song called Kill Your Heroes by AWOL Nation, which kind of the theme is exactly how it is presented here, which is... Don't concern yourself with what your heroes are doing, especially not on a human level. I mean, you're gonna have heroes. BoJack can admire Secretariat's ability to run,
mm-hmm.
but it is very dangerous to get into territory where you're looking up to him as a father figure or a person of like whose moral footsteps to follow in. And
right.
Particularly in Secretariat's case.
Yeah, I think we've talked about in the past, like, the people that we end up idealizing so often are the just as or lesser in their moral values than any one of us. It's like you idealize them for the thing they do, but then by extension you also idealize their behavior, and that's where you end up with these horrible people.
Trauma.
And let's give it a listen. Kill Your Heroes. I say you kill your heroes and fight, fight, baby. Interesting stuff.
So, yeah, Kill Your Heroes, pretty significant song, I would say. I just thought of that now, which I was like, oh, that is a song about killing your heroes. Anyway, Evan, do you have any songs you'd like to bring up here?
I have the second season finale with a...
Important to note also, Is this the episode where BoJack goes to Vermont or kind of wherever the deers live? What are their names again? Charlotte. Charlotte and her 17-year-old daughter. Oh, New Mexico. They're from New Mexico. Folks, this is probably the most questionable thing that BoJack Horseman does in the entire series, I would say, is this moment right here. So BoJack, in trying to fill the voids of his life, I think he kind of feels that some connection to his past, to his happiest past, in his friend Charlotte, who he was friends with Herb Kazaz back in their Hollywood days, and brought him some real happiness back then, but because he was more of a complete, uncorrupted individual back then, which he fails to make that leap. He goes to visit her in New Mexico, and he lives with her family. She's married, which he kind of failed to consider. But anyway, over the course of these few months, he eventually makes the moves on Charlotte, his friend. She rejects him because, obviously, she's married. And in that same day, same night, he almost sleeps with her 17-year-old daughter. And probably the only reason he didn't is because Charlotte walks in on them and throws them out of the house, obviously. This is unforgivable. Like, I don't know. This is one of those really questionable moments in the show where you really have to figure out, can you even root for this guy anymore?
Right. Not a very redeemable character. Not someone that you can, like, he did some bad stuff, sure, but, like, we feel bad for him, right? He's our protagonist. And then in that moment, I'm like, BoJack, please, just... Because she's always chasing that high of, like, what can bring me the satisfaction that I need that'll finally piece me together. And he's always starting from this place of brokenness that nothing's going to work in its current state. It's just making him feel that much worse. But I don't even have this episode. So.
Oh, that's okay. I've got some songs that I think discuss, particularly in relation to the events that take place in that episode specifically, in the season more broadly. The 1975 have a song. Also, I would also just like to say that with all these songs that I'm bringing up, like, I don't know if these were the intended meanings by any of these artists. If they I could be totally off base, but in the way that I interpret them, whether in context, the context of BoJack or whatever show and beyond that, like, this is totally just my interpretation. I have no idea if this is what the artists were talking about.
And to push back on that, there's no invalidation to what Marissa's saying, because art is intended to have multiple meanings, and it doesn't actually matter what the artist thinks. If you have significance in the music, then it's true. So...
Right. Well, I would just like to say here, and this is kind of applicable, I would say, to BoJack as a whole, the 1975 have a song called Me. Now, when I listen to this song, kind of push and pull of addiction, where you can recognize that you're doing something really destructive and you aren't really able to stop yourself from doing it anyway, and you can see the issues you're causing for other people, and you, what are you going to do about it? I mean, we can play it for a second here. Middle of the night, don't you mind? I nearly killed somebody, don't you mind?
None of these songs have me feeling particularly happy, as you thought from the beginning.
So the lead singer of the 1975, Matty Healy, struggled with heroin addiction, so I can only presume that this kind of has something to do with that in one way or another. Basically just hurting the people you care about. At least that's what I take out of it, but there are some significant lyrics here that are particularly well-suited to BoJack's situation. I gave you something you can never give back. Don't you mind? I would also like to say, there's an interesting kind of motif throughout the song where he'll say something bad usually that he did, or even something good that he does, and he'll end it all with "Don't you mind?" And I don't know. I always like that as an idea, especially from someone who's so dysfunctional, and like whether you kind of just want to isolate yourself from your actions' ability to impact other people, specifically when you know you're extremely dysfunctional. And I'm sure BoJack kind of has that struggle as well. But I gave you something you can never give back. I think mean, you could take that in a lot of ways. I think particularly for Charlotte's daughter, we kind of see her later, and there's some serious, like, trauma that she has to work through because of being taken advantage by this guy who's much, much, much older than her. And yeah, to me, that line fits particularly well. And it's easy for BoJack to go, you know, don't you mind, and try and wish that his actions didn't impact anybody. But
that's the funny thing is, yeah, when you do something that has negative effects on other people around you, and the first thing to feel is just like, oh, man, I probably shouldn't have done that. I feel pretty bad. And then you can end up feeling bad for yourself. And is BoJack ever reflecting on what he did to those around him, or just about the fact that he feels so horrible about himself and his behavior? Like,
right. And to me, this song kind of goes either way, because I never listen to the song and I get this real sense of I really I'm understanding the weight of what I've done, but this song does just come, like, it's very self-loathing. It's somebody who just hates themselves, and it's, the song is literally called Me. I mean, this is very self-focused in its outlook, and intentionally so, I'm sure. But you know, some of the lyrics, which aren't necessarily exactly related to BoJack's situation, but I think can be extended as such. I always like this lyric: I was late but I arrived, I'm sorry but I'd rather be getting high than watching my family die. And it's like the justification of why you are an, like, the way that you are and are so dysfunctional. And it's understandable. Like, you can be sympathetic in a way of like, yeah, I get it. You've got a lot of stuff going on. BoJack particularly did not have a good upbringing, but that doesn't negate the fact that, I mean, the line is, I was late, but I arrived, which to me is like, you know, you should be glad that I'm even able to do anything at all,
which I think is reflective in BoJack's absolutely personality. And like, okay, yeah, sure, I might have said something that hurt your feelings, but like, I'm here, and like, I'm a decent guy, and like, I just have I've had a bad hand, but like,
right.
I'm still doing stuff. And like, that side of him, and in that mentality, I think he's at his worst.
Absolutely.
If he can acknowledge, like, okay, I'm broken and I'm hurting people around me, and when he says that to Todd at one point in the show, he's pulling Todd from this cruise ship, this improv cruise ship, and he's like, I realize, like, you're the only person who's really, like, I care about, and I've never even told you that. It's like, he's constantly feeling bad for himself, and been like, you know, I helped you out. You got to live in my house. But, like,
yeah,
any acknowledgement of the poor behavior that he's exhibited and the effects it has on other people is, like, never.
No.
Never shown.
And just some more significant lyrics. I put your mother through hell, don't you mind? Oh, I was thinking about killing myself, don't you mind? I love you, don't you mind? Don't you mind? I mean, it's funny. I mean, I really appreciate the song on its own merits, but particularly adapted to BoJack's situation. And just, I mean, he's so, it's like, even in this moment of, like, reflecting on this terrible behavior, I like how completely about him this song is. Like, this song is, I mean, Maddie in the song is,
yeah,
it's literally like, this is like about me. This, all of this stuff at the end of the day,
right.
I did all this stuff to you and it's terrible,
and it makes me feel horrible,
and it makes me feel bad. Yeah, and to me, that's so perfect about as far as BoJack goes.
I mean, it makes me feel that much worse about the character and also Maddie Healy. It's like, oh no.
I mean, with Maddie, I don't know. I can't say that was probably purposeful,
right. Which,
on his part.
Exposing that part of him. Like, BoJack wouldn't even want to. He's like, no, paint me in the best light.
Right.
I'm a good person.
Which, and he was really pissed off at Diane in the first season for writing a book that didn't portray him,
right,
as such.
He's so out of touch. He's convinced that if people see him as he truly is, like, they're going to hate him. And she did it in such a way that he was, like, you could empathize with him, but he wasn't even aware that that's something that was attractive. I don't know. That's what,
yeah,
I mean.
There's so many. I had a very easy time picking songs that were adapted to BoJack's circumstances. I had a more difficult time kind of relating them to particular points in the show, because BoJack is nothing if not a one-trick pony.
Ooh.
and that he falls back into the same patterns constantly. So while I can identify songs that relate to who he is as an individual on average, it's hard for me to pick particular moments because he does the same thing over and over and over again, just in different contexts. And you're like, what are you doing? So season two is also significant in Herb Kazaz, who is BoJack's old showrunner and used to be his closest friend. He passes away. And there's this Arctic Monkey song called The Ultra Cheese, which is a funny name, but I felt is kind of apt to these regrets that are really overcoming BoJack, especially in relation to fame being the thing that tears you away from these people and these things that you used to value. And BoJack kind of has a blast from the past. He goes to visit Herb Kazaz, who's on his deathbed and is dying of cancer. And BoJack really has to rectify these terrible things that he's done to Herb and, you know, the reason that he's...
Doesn't he want Herb to kind of like...
He wants Herb to forgive him.
Exactly.
He's angry that he won't.
He wants reconciliation.
And you can watch... If you watch the episode... There is a fondness that Herb has for him, and there is a fondness they have for each other, but because I mean they were like brothers, these two characters, but there is BoJack did something unforgivable to Herb and
completely disavowed him.
Yeah, and this particular song I would say is Alex Turner, the lead songwriter for the Arctic Monkeys, kind of coping with these friends that have come and gone as a result of fame and his inability to the regrets that he has about. Who he is about who he is since he's become famous. So let's listen to the beginning of the song.
We aren't really friends anymore. Maybe I shouldn't ever call that thing friendly at all.
What else it also makes you think of, even just hearing in the song, is there's this horrible moment between BoJack and Sarah Lynn where she's in her dressing room. And she's just got all these people who want her for autographs and different events and things. And you can tell she's at a really low point in her life. He walks in. She's like, oh, it's finally nice to have someone here who just, you know, just to catch up. And then she's like, you know, like, I might have a smile on my face, but underneath this all, I'm like, I'm about to lose it. And then he's like, oh, yeah, for sure, for sure. And then, like, 2 minutes go by and he's like, oh, I'm running this show and I was... You know, wondering maybe if you'd want to come on, you know, for old time's sake. And you can just see this pain in her eyes. She's like, oh, put it on the stack over there. And then he quickly leaves. And it's like, even he's guilty of the same thing of all these other people around, just of using these friendships to achieve your own goals. The entirety of Hollywood is built
on
this.
And BoJack's relation to Sarah Lynn is, I mean, he does genuinely care about her, and like this is the concerning part, is that he does care about her, and yet the things that he does to her are very telling of his character, because not only does he sleep with her, which in and of itself is extremely yucky when you think about the fact that this has essentially been her father figure her entire life as she grew up on the show, but he, when she's overdosing and dies because he doesn't want to look like the bad guy that was there and was caused her to relapse while she, you know, died of drug use. He orchestrates this whole plan to make it look like she called him and that he came and got there too late. And in that time period, it's like she could have been saved if he had just, like, admitted that he was the reason she relapsed. She could have been saved. We don't know for sure. But, I mean, it's kind of a really significant moment. A bit reminiscent of Walter White's moment in Breaking Bad season 3, I believe. And I mean, not that Walter White was the reason that Jane was overdosing, but he, you know, he certainly could have saved her. And that's
they both have an opportunity, and they don't take it. I mean, BoJack doesn't know that to be true, but like the right thing is always to seek help immediately for someone, even if you don't, because you don't know the total ramifications of a situation.
Sarah Lynn is someone he cares about deeply, and now he has to...
You got to toss that on his conscience.
Yeah, exactly. And then
this
really does
horrific
not
weight.
Look well for him.
Like, that's a pretty valid reason to have some self-loathing.
Yeah, certainly. Absolutely. So yeah, in the Ultra Cheese, we've got some lyrics. Some of them you heard. Still got pictures of friends on the wall. I suppose we aren't really friends anymore. Maybe I shouldn't have ever have called that thing friendly at all. Yeah, I mean, BoJack is in a particularly interesting situation where he's the reason that all of his friendships have dissipated. And for as much as anyone wants to blame Hollywood for the superficial nature of it, I mean, he certainly buys into the fact that, Hollywood is filled with problematic people and problematic...
he's on par with everyone else, he's if on, not he, worse.
If not worse, yeah, exactly. And he looks back on his friendships with these people in a way that is... like, he looks back fondly. And he can recognize that he's the reason that they're not friends anymore. But that line, maybe I shouldn't have ever called that thing friendly at all. I mean,
he recontextualized these friendships for what they really are.
Yeah, yeah. And then there are just some lines.
You're friends once you're, as long as you're both aligned in the same direction in the moment. There's an obstacle or that person's in your way, then the friendship's gone. And that's Herb got tossed out the window the moment.
Yeah. The moment something BoJack perceived as better for him came along. So I always like this bit. And I've really, a lot of the Arctic Monkey stuff, I really try and pick apart what the hell they're talking about. But this one bit, he says, get freaked out from a knock at the door when I haven't been expecting one. But didn't that used to be part of the fun once upon a time? And it's a great line. And you can look at it a lot of ways. I mean, clearly there's some allusion to fame here. And you know, when somebody knocks on your door as a famous person, you're looking at that very differently than when somebody knocks on your door, you know, before you achieved all that fame. Like, you're completely guarded now when you go to open the door. And that also is apt for Sarah Lynn, I would say. And, like, any of these famous characters, they all even have to grapple with the fact that anybody at any point, no one really cares about them. And it's all very dysfunctional. But even from a BoJack perspective, I was thinking about that, and getting freaked out from a knock on the door when I haven't been expecting one. I mean, I think that line, in terms of like when he has to think about his life and these things of his past bubble to the surface. I mean, there's some real. You know, that's not going to make him feel good is all I'll say about
that.
Yeah,
I feel like that as a line can be taken so many different ways. And I really appreciate that as an interpretation.
Yeah.
He knows his childhood wasn't good, but the implications of the horrible situation he was in seem to become more and more apparent the later you get into the show. You keep seeing it more and more horrible things from his past.
Yeah. So, which
and they keep haunting him. They keep knocking at his door.
Yeah, and I won't deny that BoJack has a lot of past demons that he has to get past. But BoJack's it's interesting because he has to understand and reflect on his past and the mistakes he's made and the mistakes that were made unto him to be able to rectify where he is now and move forward. But BoJack is in a lot of ways so rooted to the past that he can't move forward at all. And until he kind of gets over these humps of dealing with his mother and his father and his upbringing and the real big glaring mistakes that he's made, like he's gonna continue this self-destructive behavior. But that also brings me to another song, a bit more poppy but no more happy. Conan Gray has a song called Family Line, which we will play right now.
Gotta have my father's eyes by my sister's when I cry. I can run but I can't hide.
Yeah, so this song, I mean, pretty straightforward, is somebody trying to come to terms with the upbringing that they had and how, you know, they still, after all this time, just even recognizing that they went through this very troubled childhood isn't enough. It's still in you. It's still part of you. So I'll just read it. I say they're just the ones who gave me life, but I truly am my parents' child. Scattered across my family line, I'm so good at telling lies. That came from my mother's side, told a million to survive. God, I have my father's eyes, but my sisters, when I cry, I can run, but I can't hide from my family line.
Oh, no.
I mean, it even is apt that BoJack has a sister, which we find out in season 3.
Oh, I totally forgot.
Who originally we think is his daughter, but we come to find out is the baby that his father had an affair with.
Oh, with the mistress.
An affair with the mistress, and then the Hollyhock is the result of this affair. And wow. So BoJack doesn't know about this, and then they find each other after the fact.
Yeah, even hearing the conversations between them and the overlap in their shared outlook, like she comes to BoJack in the end of one episode, like, you know, these feelings I have and these anxieties as like a teenager and the feeling that like nothing really matters, it gets better, right? And then he's like, yep. And you can just look, he kind of looks away, and you know, he's like, for her sake I'll say yes. But
yeah. Yeah, that's really upsetting. I believe that's the episode where Blood in the Cut plays Kay Flay's song. Keep in mind that Hollyhock is also, they're living with BoJack's dementia-ridden mother, and there's some tensions as a result of that. Yeah, so Hollyhock, as Evan said, they have this conversation, and this is the song that plays at the end of this episode. I need the buzz of a sub, need the crack. Need some blood in the cup.
I need noise. I need the buzz of a sub. Well, this doesn't sound very uplifting to the soul either.
No, I've seen Kay Flay perform this live, and I mean, it's pretty hype to see it in concert, but the song is pretty well not very happy. I mean, it's, I need noise, I need the buzz of a saw, I need a crack in the whip, need some blood in the cut. Now you can take this in many different ways, but for the intents and purposes of this episode and for BoJack specifically, and I'm just reading the Wikipedia page here, this as an episode was particularly lauded for its depiction of BoJack's depression and the way in which BoJack's negative self-talk spirals push him lower. Is kind of like the song particularly, and right after that conversation that he has with Hollyhock about, yeah, you know, having
it gets better.
Sure. This is making things worse for yourself when they're already terrible, to me, is what this song is kind of getting at here. And BoJack is very much guilty of that. But depression particularly, and what I can appreciate about BoJack Horseman, and what I can sympathize with him in, is that it's very difficult to not do that, to not get into these self-destructive behaviors and, put salt in your wound that's right. Already there. It's like, it's
the natural course, and there's something like,
yeah,
that feels good about that, or like it's the tendency, that's what part of you wants that.
Yeah. And it's very difficult, especially when you're dealing with alcoholism and all these things on top of that.
Yeah.
General moral dysfunction, to pull yourself out of that. So that's a great song choice there, specifically in that moment with Hollyhock, and I can appreciate that little bit there. Yeah, I'm not going to spend too long talking about this song. But what I really wanted to bring to attention was this song by Simon and Garfunkel called So Long, Frank Lloyd Wright. This is the only song that has made me consistently cry, other than Taylor Swift's Ronin, which is not relevant to this conversation. But this song was written by Paul Simon about Art Garfunkel and this kind of tumultuous relationship that they were having near the end of their career. But it's kind of this like very heartfelt tribute to Art Garfunkel, who sings this song and doesn't even know that he's singing about himself. It's got a lot of friendship meaning layered in it, and to me this song can both be applied to Herb Kazaz and to Sarah Lynn, kind of a tribute from BoJack. But
well, we can give it a listen and then
we'll
talk
about
the lyrics.
So
long, Frank Lloyd Wright, I can't believe you. your song is gone so soon.
I was hoping we could keep that playing just long enough so Marissa would shed a tear.
It could happen. It could happen. If I really think about, I mean, I'm particularly a big fan of Simon and Garfunkel as artists, and I think about the ramifications. I have a particular interest in friendship death, especially one as old and really significant as that between Paul Simon and Art Garfunkel. So this song really hits home there. But particularly in the context of BoJack and Herb Kazaz and Sarah Lynn, I mean, these are people that BoJack has a deep, deep love for. And this song is kind of this bittersweet goodbye. Now, with BoJack, it might all be a bitter goodbye because he really has screwed up profoundly. But I think it's worth mentioning he did care about these people, and these were profound relationships in his life. And, you know, there's... They say, so long, Frank Lloyd Wright, which, by the way, Art Garfunkel was an architect, and Frank Lloyd Wright, famous architect, which is why the song is called that. But anyway, all of the nights we'd harmonize till dawn, I never laughed so long, so long. And then it's like, so long, so long. And then he goes, so long already, Artie? And the producer in the back says that. Anyway, I could talk about this song particularly forever in its production.
No, I think that's some good significance behind the song. And it's interesting when one person knows it's the end and the other person doesn't.
Yes. Yeah. And they're particularly in the comparison of I mean, BoJack's friendship with Herb died before Herb did.
Right.
And that's kind of where Simon and Garfunkel were at this point in their lives. Is like, these are people that had been friends forever, like childhood friends, and had built careers together, which is very similar to Herb and BoJack.
Right.
And Paul Simon felt particularly abandoned by Art Garfunkel at this point in time. Art Garfunkel was off shooting a movie in New York. There's other songs on this album that allude to that, but this particular song is does not discount the sweet, genuine friendship that was there between these people. And I think that's also important because it's easy to discount BoJack's like behavior as for people he doesn't really care about, but he does deeply care about these people, which is what makes his behavior so much worse. But anyway, this is that I felt was significant. I said I wasn't going to talk that much about it, but I did anyway.
You get a little music facts alongside.
Get some music
show
facts
analysis
there. Okay, and one that I'll just throw out here as another song. I'm not even going to tie this particularly to an episode or to a moment, but I think is just an important kind of BoJack song to bring up. Man, I got some good songs here that I'm not even going to get to talk about.
Oh, wow.
But Radiohead,
that's just a tease for part two.
Radiohead has this very tragic song, like a song that literally like changed the chemistry of my brain. Because I played it so many times before I would go to sleep, and I would just, like, cry. Anyway, it's called How to Disappear Completely. It's on Kid A. The sonic moodiness of this song is BoJack-esque enough on its own, but the lyrics, the idea of... the lyrics go something like, that there, that's not me. I walk through walls. I'm not here. This isn't happening. Yada, yada, yada. BoJack is pretty dissociative in a lot of... I mean, not only in just the way that he views himself and his direct involvement in other people's misery, but also just, like, part of him does recognize that and wants to detach himself mentally from what's going on, which kind of is a bit of even a teaser of things that come down the road in the latter half of BoJack Horseman, where he literally kind of does this. But it's no secret that BoJack resorts to drug usage, and I think this song kind of fits in with that enough. And but I would say even more than that, sonically this song is pretty BoJack-esque. Anyway, play the song.
I walk through walls. I float down the lift.
You did it again.
Yeah, that song's pretty friggin' depressing. Well, I'm not gonna lie, but even just the, I think that's just violin, and it sounds so eerie on that song. It's
absolutely.
Like, and you're like, ey! Watching that, listening to that song with headphones is like otherworldly in a terrible way. Like, it's like, I feel, I mean, it's an incredible song, but I feel like I'm kind of in on the road to perdition or something. Like, it's very creepy, and it's very, but it's also like,
there's that rhythmic bass that kind of carries throughout the whole song. I like it, but yeah, I know what you mean. Particularly the strings make it that much spookier.
Yeah, it's and for BoJack, I think this is a song BoJack Horseman would listen to. This
he's
is
just like sitting in his million dollar house, yeah. Completely empty, all alone.
Yeah, I could see also this song playing in BoJack Horseman. I think it would be an apt addition to the actual show.
Absolutely.
Speaking of which, the end of season 3. Has my favorite usage of music in BoJack Horseman, one of my favorite uses of music in television, period.
Oh, yeah.
The season 3 finale ends with actually what I would kind of consider an uplifting moment, maybe.
Oh, one of the most, it was a rare and significant uplifting moment, and I think for me, watching it again, it's like, you really got to hold on to these moments.
Absolutely. And the song is just incredible, and it's...
Set the background for a second, if you recall it, or I can try.
So BoJack Horseman has just agreed to sign on to a reboot of Horsin' Around. Ethan, one of the children, has asked him to be part of it, and he does, and then they're going to shoot the first episode, and a little girl comes up to him and very Sarah Lynn-esque and says,
I want to be just like you when I get older.
Yeah.
He's like, just like me?
Yeah.
He runs off set, deeply troubled that this same cycle where he ends up killing Sarah Lynn is going to repeat again in this other actress. The ramifications of his actions, he's like, I'm about to kill someone else, basically, directly or indirectly, as a result of being any sort of role model. I can't do this.
And he gets in his car, and he starts just driving, and he doesn't know where he's going. You see him kind of driving through the desert out of California. This particular song starts playing. This song is Stars by Nina Simone, which the performance is in and of itself was, like, done live. Like, it's kind of this live little jazz rendition she was doing in this venue. Like, I don't really know what the backstory was, but even just the live kind of imperfect recording of this particular song adds to the whole kind of legendary. The song touches upon celebrity and this idea of stars coming and going,
mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And the cycles that we see repeating over and over again with,
yeah,
every celebrity that you know, stars shines bright in the night sky
the song goes on for like 6 minutes.
Yeah, it's a significant performance, and I would recommend watching it if you can. But basically, this scene, BoJack is driving out. He kind of just speeds up the car. He closes his eyes as he's driving down this highway.
Takes his hands off the wheel.
Then he opens his eyes, and out of the corner of his eye, he sees a group of horses running by, very Secretariat-esque. And
wild horses.
And he stops the car. BoJack kind of has this realization, and this, you could say, this kind of flashback to this advice from Secretariat of just keep running, keep moving forward, and that the past can only take you so far. Just keep moving forward, BoJack. And this terrific song plays.
We always have a story.
And the particular line that really sticks, because it's the line that ends the episode, we always have a story. And it's this climax of the song, as she's been kind of dragging the song out in some ways for like 6 minutes, it really lulls down in the middle, and then it comes back for this climax to end with this. It's like, he's not ready to end it all. There's something still left for him. He doesn't even know what it means in these running horses, this wildness, like the specific tangible meaning that he's supposed to find isn't something tangible. It's mysterious. He doesn't know what it is, but there's something in it. And that's kind of, I think, even in the song, like,
I think, yeah, I totally agree. I think that this particular selection, I mean, it's in some ways also kind of a little homage to Sarah Lynn, I think, in her death. And I mean, we know many celebrities, and she even lists some in here. Janis Joplin, she mentions, like, who die so young as a result of drugs and just this crash and burn, as stars do, like actual literal stars do. I mean, they collapse in on themselves, which is very apt for Hollywood stars as well. BoJack being one of them. I mean, he's not dead, but he kind of in this moment, like, it's debatable
might
whether
well
he's
be.
Trying
he
to kill himself
did.
And
yep.
he doesn't really care. It's like he's not actively trying to kill himself, but he's not actively trying to be alive either. And that is pretty significant as this song is playing, as he spots these horses and what that means for him. I mean, ultimately these horses has something he doesn't, which is liberation, and liberation from what I think BoJack isn't totally sure, but he can sense that there's a real freedom and peace that these runners have that he does not have. And I mean, if you even want to read into it further, I mean, he's a domesticated horse. He's a horse that's been really put into this particular. Horses are meant to run free. Horses are meant to run through the desert, and not through the desert, but to run through anywhere. and these people are clearly happy as he spots them. I mean, these look like people that have some sense of fulfillment.
Yeah, in their pain, like the exhaustion of running, there's still some deep significance. Like one of the horses like pushes sweat off of his brow, but it's not like he's hating it. He's loving this moment that they all share. And like the fact that there's a group of them. These horses, they run as a herd, and he's got no one. he's over here in his car by himself.
Right. I mean, he's a horse in his car.
Yeah.
Which, in and of itself, I mean, the show is a bit ridiculous in its personification of animals, but there's something to be said about the juxtaposition in this moment about horses, like literal horses that are running, and BoJack, who is overweight and you know, an alcoholic and totally dysfunctional by every kind of metric as a horse.
Mm-hmm.
He can't do horse things.
Yeah.
He's a celebrity. That's literally all he is. And he knows that's all he is. But what good is that when it's brought so much harm? And
what is it after the limelight's no longer on you and you're forgotten?
Yeah.
And
especially when you've caused so much damage to get there.
Right. And then it's like it's all for nothing and you can't justify it even to yourself anymore. But the thing with the song in contrast with that feeling is like there's something in contrast to him and he doesn't know exactly what it is, and the show doesn't tell you what it is. And what's even interesting is the chord that ends the song, that ends the season, is like dissonant, and it's kind of playing
mm-hmm.
out, and it doesn't quite end with resolution, but it's just like, we always have a story, and you don't get the answer. And that's an unfortunate part of BoJack, is we as TV watchers would enjoy some sort of bow to tie the thing up. But you don't get it.
No, and that's what we'll discuss that a bit more in the next episode when we unpack the series finale and the implications of what that means, and
mm-hmm.
the juxtaposition to the BoJack finale versus the Horsin' Around finale, which we kind of get a glimpse into, and just the end of every BoJack Horseman episode, or the end of every Horsin' Around episode, I should say, in comparison.
Well, in contrast even with BoJack episodes.
Absolutely. That ends happily. Every issue that the characters in these episodes have ties up in a nice little knot and a nice little bow. And BoJack and none of these other characters really get that sense of like finality, because life